welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. 2 weeks running, we promised you it would be every Wednesday. My name is Adam Cook and I'm joined as ever by Christopher White.
Hello. Hello, Adam.
What's funny? Why is that funny?
No, it was lovely. How are you?
Did you like the way I sort of... I'm trying to say it. Your name's difficult to say in many different ways. Like, so I thought, Christopher White.
No, I liked it. It was different.
Okay.
It was,
yeah. Okay.
Off the cuff.
Okay. Off the cuff, off the crisp cuff. No, it doesn't work. Adam Carroll, Adam Carroll's here as well.
I'm just laughing because it sounded like Chris got caught doing something he shouldn't be doing.
Well, I mean, at the eye of the beholder and all that. I mean, he might be supposed. Listen, we're back to the full four this week. Yes, we're back to the full four this week. Returning from an absence for quite a while, actually. Dan Murphy, how the hell are you, man?
I am pretty good, you know, just pottering along as normal, putting off uni work, you know, the same old stuff, really.
Well, I don't know that because I never went to uni, but I'm going to say, yep, I get it. Because, you know,
who can be asked doing
here,
stuff?
Didn't go. Well. We're here. We're doing a podcast, so we can clearly be asked
really
doing that.
I really work, though.
Well, that's good to know.
It's a laugh. It's fun. I enjoy it. It's been a while.
And I know, yeah,
I wasn't on for like ages because I had fuck all to talk about. Being a lowly student, I had nothing to play, nothing. I couldn't afford anything, so nothing to talk about. But got a bit of a backup, like a backlog played now, so I can talk about things, which is nice.
Well, I mean, there is a hell of a lot on your list, but I tell you what, I'm in your position this week. I literally last night decided I got to play Tekken 7 because I haven't properly played it yet, and I played it for about an hour, and that's literally everything I've played this week. So,
wow, you're
that's
dedicated.
Out of the way, nice and early. Well, I just wanted to have something to say. I've played a game. It feels like I should have played a game. I did want to quickly, before we jump into it, I want to ask Chris about Tekken 7 because he reviewed it.
Yeah.
I know I'm seen as the kind of fighting game man on the team. And I did play all the Tekkens, you know, through, I think the last one, and the last few I never really got into, but like I played them all back when they were big, I suppose. The one thing that I was quite surprised about is given Tekken 7 has got a chance that it could be like a lot of people's first Tekken, I was a bit surprised that the story mode isn't very tutorially. It does that same thing that kind of Injustice does where you switch characters quite a lot, but it never sort of says... And here's how you do this combo or this move. You kind of just, like, if you want to learn it, you just have to go into the moves list. Is that right? Am I missing, is there a mode that, you know?
You're exactly right. That's kind of, I think there's a mode which you can go and play, which is just like your practice.
Yeah, no, I had a look at that because I wanted to try out Akuma.
That's pretty much the same thing. You've got a moves list that you have to go into and there's like the story mode to do. So, you know, if you are familiar with Tekken, great. If not, then it's a bit difficult to get into, and then if you like the story is just fucking stupid, so it's got no bearing
it's
on
good stupid though.
Well, no, it's good fun, like it's funny as well as it is kind of, you know, it's got the kind of emotional elements of the Heihachi and his family bloodline and stuff, but it's good. I loved it. I did enjoy it. Obviously,
I get it. Yeah. I get what I think. I have spoken on the podcast and I didn't like it. What I played of it, but I think I was just rushed at the time and I sat down and actually played it because I want to.
Yeah.
It's Tekken, but they have added quite a lot in terms of sort of new elements and I don't know. It just seems really good, but I don't know what much more to say about it. I was never much of a Heihachi player, or if I was, I've forgotten because I could remember one move and that was diagonally up. And then kick, so you do it like a double jump.
Who did you always go with?
I can't even remember that. I think I might have played Kazuya because I could remember his. Yeah. He also had a diagonal jump forward, and you just keep hitting kick.
Yeah,
and he does like says it's like a roundhouse, then like a few sweeps, and finishes with a kick. You know.
Yeah.
I remember playing King a bit. Yoshimitsu in the first game, who I forgot existed. I actually watched a trailer, and all of a sudden these characters are coming up. I'm like, Jesus Christ!
Well, that's a good.
I forgot these people existed.
There's one good thing about the story mode is that you've got your. The standard story mode, and then afterwards you've got a chance to play. I think you might be able to play Amjorin, but
you can.
Like the side stories,
last night.
Are really
Devil Jin.
Yeah, they're really cool. They're like, well, they're normally just like one fight story, but it gives you a little background, and then like Yoshimitsu's little stories in there, and there's some really funny ones and some stupid ones because it's Tekken, so it's never made any sense. You can fight as a tiger.
Oh yeah, God, yeah, the panda. Are they in it? It's Kuma in it.
Yeah.
Is it Kuma?
Yeah, Kuma. Yeah. They're adding other characters from other games as well. Like they're adding Noctis, aren't they, from Final Fantasy 15?
Yeah, what? I mean, Akuma's in it. And I tell you what, it's interesting because I'd never bothered when I first booted up playing Akuma because, like, I I just didn't play enough of it in the first place, but I did have a go on Akuma in practice mode, and I'm a bit surprised, actually, how well he works, because he's a Street Fighter character, and Street Fighter is a 2D fighting game, and you throw fireballs and stuff, and you would think... I mean, that was the big thing with Tekken Cross Street Fighter, was that you kind of thought it will never be made, and it still hasn't, because how would that work? If you can throw a fireball, you could just sidestep it.
Yeah.
But his... like, they even have his, like, his ultra move, like, you know, punch-punch, right, low-kick, punch, you know, even that is the same.
Yeah.
So that makes you wonder... I mean, I don't know. I was always told off the record, which I suppose I'm sort of breaking now. I was always told that game is still in development, but the last time I heard that was years ago. So I don't know. I'm going to play some more Tekken, and I actually reinstalled Street Fighter V as well. So I'm massively back into fighting games all of a sudden.
Where do you think where do you think Tekken can actually go after this? Though, is there anything you kind of like when
I don't
you
think it needs to? I don't think it needs to go anywhere. They're releasing new characters really slowly, and they keep promising they're going to support the game for ages. So I don't really know that they
like
need
is
to
the gameplay at its absolute best in 7.
Yeah, I think it probably a bit early to tell for me, but it's I like the rage arts.
Yeah,
I initially thought that was shit, and now I think that's quite cool. It's clever. It adds a layer. Like if you don't know. And Chris, you might have to need to correct me because, again, I haven't played much, but the Rage Arts, it's like basically you hit R1 when you've got low health and you go into Rage mode and you can...
Yeah.
I guess it's like an ultra meter, an ultra thing, like you can do better versions of your moves, but you can also do a super move. But is it something like that, or is it your Rage Art?
It adds that dynamic where, you know, when you're low on health, you've got that little bit, you know, got a lot more of a chance to kind of turn it around, and it's all about skill of avoiding that. Rage art if you get a chance, so it does kind of change to the standard. I'll beat him till he's lost all his life. You can beat him till he's almost lost all his life, but then your opponent can kind of flip it around, and likewise you can use your rage art like when you've got
it's a bit like Injustice's Wages, isn't it, in a way?
Yes, it is a bit.
But you know, I won't harp on about Tekken too much because I know fighting games, not everyone loves them, but I am pleasantly impressed. I don't like the narrator, I will say, in the story mode, but the story...
he's a dickhead.
Listen, I think I mentioned this... I don't know when I mentioned this. We've done a lot of podcasts in the last month or so. It bugs me... I think actually I just put it in my personal Game of the Year list. It bugs me when things are subtitled when they shouldn't be or when people speak the wrong language. Like, if you spend... Like, I like Yakuza because the new versions, they're not dubbed, they are subtitled, because why would all the Japanese characters be speaking English? In this, it kind of goes the other way. So there's one scene early on where you have a Japanese guy, an American woman, and an Italian, and they are all speaking their own languages, but they all understand each other perfectly. Now, maybe they're just all multilingual, but Heihachi speaks and Nina just goes, answers in American, and then he answers back to her in Japanese. It's like, well, if you all understand, you know, it's amazing. It's really impressive the way they are all essentially translators. But, you know, you know what I mean? Like a minor quibble.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm. They do have cool, like, little tie-in with new Japanese pro wrestling as well. They've got, like, a load of their attire in the customization.
I can hear Adam and Dan going, all of a sudden, and me going,
It's completely like random, but it's kind of cool that you could dress up like Jack 2 in a NJP, whatever it is.
Does that mean anything to
NGPW
you guys?
NGPW t-shirt. So it's Bullet Club stuff and all that.
I can't wait for that shit. Yeah. I remember that coming out, like the announcement for that, so kind of Tanahashi, Okada, Omega and everyone being in Tekken, and that 100% makes me more interested in any fighting game ever. But the game, you know, all the New Japan guys are winning loads of games recently because the other wrestling
game. Some of them were in Yakuza, weren't they?
I think the outfits might have been in Yakuza or something like that. But there's a really, I don't know if you've heard of it, it's called like Fire World Pro Wrestling.
Fire Pro Wrestling,
And I've only seen it on Steam because obviously my computer's too shit to run it, but it's like everyone's loves it because it's proper. The moves are a lot. It's like kind of, I don't know how to describe the. It's like top down view.
It's a retro style, isn't it?
It's like a retro style, kind of a bit slower and clunky in how it looks, but like the moves kind of are real and you can do pretty much everything. And it's like from is it like 2.5 prerogative or something when you're like in a corner looking down upon it, like in a diagonal type way. I can't really remember the term.
Isometric.
Yeah, isometric. That's the fucking way. Yeah. I knew I could think of it somewhere, but I couldn't. But someone else could. And like, it's got like a really good creator thing where you can literally create every restaurant on the planet and everything else.
Yeah,
and I'm really
looking
forward to that coming to PlayStation 4 in the summer.
Is it coming to console?
Yeah, it was announced the other day that all the new Japan wrestlers, you know, they're bringing it.
That seems like the sort of story I should have put in news, but obviously being wrestling, I'm a bit blind to that. So.
Probably.
Well, Dan, sticking with you then. I think that is all I have played. Oh, I've been playing. I tell you what, I am still playing Bury Me, My Love, because that game's incredibly slow moving, and I'm still playing it because it's on my phone sending me notifications. Otherwise, and I haven't played Gorogoa, so that's going to get deleted. But I am still playing Bury Me, My Love, and I said last week that if I didn't mention it, obviously I dumped it. I am still playing it. Nothing to report. It's still very, very slow. She's now got to Greece, and I was looking up stuff online. Apparently there's loads of endings, and some of them are very dark, and now I'm not sure I want to play any more of it, but regardless. Dan, what have you been playing recently?
Well, over Christmas, it's been a January sale on it, and games have been reduced, so I've been trying to kind of catch up on what's come out in the last year, what's been really highly rated and whatnot, and the games I picked up in the sale got Assassin's Creed Origins, What Remains of Edith Finch, and Pyre, and I think my favourite out of all of them has to be What Remains of Edith Finch. Because as you know Adam, I really like Gone Home. And, you know, while I still think Gone Home is my favourite of, you know, the walking simulator genre and whatnot, because I think that connected with me on a very personal level, that Edith Finch didn't quite do, even though I was really invested and still enjoyed the story. Edith Finch, I think, kind of speaking more objectively, is absolutely the absolute pinnacle of that genre.
It's more of a game, isn't it?
It is, but it hardly. I mean, you're still doing all the same things, just walking about on a predetermined path, even more of a predetermined path than Gone Home, for instance, and others.
Yeah, but each vignette,
and then you
is
get your
like
little bit, but you're not
kind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything more than moving about and occasionally pressing the trigger button to do another bit of moving about.
Have you finished it?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Okay.
I still love it. I still think it is more of a game, as you say, because you are doing more stuff, but if you think about it, then the gradual gamey bits aren't anymore. You're not exactly doing much more than you are doing anyway. You're just doing it at a greater pace and as a fucking cat, for instance. I think it's great. I think I still didn't see the ending coming, even as I was playing it. And I finally realised when, you know, the penny drops, it's really good.
Careful, we won't spoil it.
No, 100%, because it's just great. I mean, it's so emotional how, the story of this family is kind of so delicately told, and then you see it yourself through kind of the rooms and how the people were, and then you get, you know, these little kind of weird flashbacks that are in their own little types of games themselves, and sometimes it's hard to kind of the little story bits actually telling you is sometimes a little kind of, it's not, they're not exactly hitting you on the nose of it, I don't think. It's a bit vague sometimes, but the vagueness kind of, it makes it more shocking, especially I'll say the one with the bath, shall we say. Like that one, it's like, fucking hell, that was, even though you're doing it in such a kind of a fun way, it's like such a shot in the gut. So I think that's a brilliant game. Probably up there with my favourite games of the year, to be honest with you. I've said I wasn't on the Game of the Year podcast this year. Nothing toppled Zelda for me, but this is probably top five, I'd say. And yeah, it was really good. Pyre is another one. I love Supergiant games, but this one's it's a bit weird for me. I don't know I feel like the two different, you know, the RPG smashed with the weird football game is a bit
basketball.
Yeah, it's a bit jarring, too jarring kind of combination. I don't think the RPG bit is kind of developed enough. You get me? I don't think you're doing quite enough in exploring. I think you should be given a bit more options on kind of where you go in the world and what matches you go to play and stuff like that. I think, because obviously you look up to the stars to see the star map of where you got your next right is. I think it'd be a little bit, it's a bit more freer in that regard. You can choose where to travel and stuff. And maybe, like, you had more consequences on your travels, especially with, you've got the options to, like, kind of forage for supplies. Like, I don't know why I'd have to do that, because I've not had any need for supplies and stuff. Maybe they made it a bit more open trail, where you've got bars and shit they have to keep up.
It seems like a bit of a Marmite game. Like, Chris loved it, but you kind of either love it or you feel a bit ambivalent about it. Like, I don't know, Adam, have you played this?
No, it just doesn't really appeal to me. I don't know where, like, I've heard good things, but, like,
I liked it. I just, you know,
I'm not too sure. Like, I've so many other things to get through, and, like, it's the exact same even with Edith Finch. I am I've been sitting on that game for far too long.
That surprises me, because I have a vague memory that I think you're the reason that God is a Geek generally ended up loving Gone Home.
Yeah, I wouldn't say me, but like I remember.
No,
telling,
you were, because didn't you told Colm about it?
I told Colm about it,
and that's how we ended up eventually having Steve Gaynor on the podcast twice. Like that's like, essentially, you
Gone
know.
Gone Home was like the best of those kind of games. I think still to this day, I just was blown away with it. But like as it went on, that style of game just did not work for me anymore. I kind of I found that like Edith Finch has popped up in so many sales, and I've just been like, I must get that, and then I don't, because I've played like Rapture and Dear Esther and stuff, and I just don't get it.
What about Chris, I'm going to ask you to brace yourself just in case Adam says something dodgy here.
Okay.
What about Firewatch? Because I think my favourite of those is still Firewatch.
Oh, shit, yeah.
I think that's still my favourite one of the Wonder Games.
I think that's better than Edith Finch. Just...
Oh no, I love Firewatch, it was great.
Okay, thanks. That's right. We can all stay friends.
Oh, no, Firewatch was spectacular. Like, see, that's what I mean. I think Rapture was the boiling point for me.
Rapture was so shit.
See,
see you later. Bye.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
It was so dull. So dull.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
See, dull, maybe not. I just found we're getting a bit sidetracked here, sorry. But like,
go for it.
The actual story in that, I was like, okay, cool. And the world looked great, but it was just so slow. Mm. And I literally, as the game went on, I did not give a shit about looking at ghosts.
And like the story's so, as I say, it's told in such an uninteresting way. I mean, Edith Finch and Rapture kind of stay in this type of story where you go to a place that something's happened and you've got to find out what's happened. But you find out in such different ways, where Edith Finch is engaging, you're involved in it, and it's interesting, it's always different. Edith Finch, it was dull. You're just watching fucking weird glowing lights talking and shit.
You mean Rapture,
accents.
By the way?
It's an incredibly strange style of game that I'm always interested in, like, but there is some amount of bollocks that comes out that people feel they need to praise it because it has such a like nail-biting, like heart-pulling story, you know, and I'm kind of like, yeah, that's grand and all. Like, do you know what's an appalling one of these games is This Town Needs Light? Is that the name of it?
The Town of Light.
The Town of Light.
That surprises me that you say that.
Like, I just... Go away. Just go away.
Right.
And there's one other one.
Are you talking
one.
Directly to Chris there, or just...
I feel that he might be.
No, son, Chris, did you
just,
like...
Just fuck just you, Chris. Just fuck
absolutely
you.
Absolutely slating Chris's love. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine.
No. Do you know what one doesn't get enough love, though, in my opinion, is... And a lot of people had problems with was Virginia.
Oh, that's shit as well.
Oh, for God's sake.
Virginia is so shite. I've never seen such a most convoluted, boring, weird game in my life.
I was angry when I finished that because I was like, you've just wasted
it's
2 hours of my
bollocks.
Life and I don't know what you're talking about.
I think I paid £2 for it and I'm still annoyed.
Hang on a second. I know I said some bad things, all right? I'm only on my second episode, so shut the fuck up. Right? Virginia, right? I think really for me, the reason I like that kind of style of this kind of game with that kind of art was... It was really like Twin Peaks. It had a very Twin Peaks vibe.
Yeah, Chris, I think, mentioned that in the review, I think, didn't you, Chris?
Yeah, I did. Definitely.
See, I know it's very just one of those games where what the fuck is happening? But I kind of, if something's going to be weird, just be fucking weird. And I can just look at it visually and go, that's really strange. Because at times Twin Peaks is that. You just don't know what is happening, but you're kind of up for just looking at it anyway. I don't know. It's. I'm not trying to like, I'm basically talking about the whole genre of that style of game. Weird one, and I don't know how much more
Edith Finch, because Edith Finch is more Firewatch than
you should.
And it's
it
very
is,
quick,
yeah,
very
yeah.
snappy. It's engaging throughout. You could play it in one sitting, I reckon. I played it in two.
You should all feel sorry for me, because I had to play Everybody's Gone to the Rapture before they patched in the thing that says you can run. Yeah. So,
Are you going to call that actually running?
Yeah, it wasn't.
I don't know, because I never played it afterwards.
It is,
I said my review got up before I knew you could run.
Jesus, that is... That's a terrible feature in the game, even. Like, even the patch to bring in running was awful. It's so slow. It's painfully slow. Like, I needed that game to end so quickly.
Well.
I'm sorry. I know. Like, it's just...
Listen, never apologise for your opinions unless they're racist or homophobic, in which case, definitely... In fact, just don't say those ones, all right?
Yeah, okay.
Dan, what else have you been playing, mate?
As I said, Assassin's Creed Origins, I also picked up. I was quite looking forward to this one. I really like Assassin's Creed. It's been a while. Yep. I was ready for a new one, and this is good. I mean, it still has some annoying Assassin's Creed-y bits. I don't know why I get to go out of the Amnus for all of 2 seconds to go back in it. Like, no need, lads. Just come on, let's get with it. But this is really good. The combat's decent, even a bit. Sometimes it's a bit annoying when you're locking onto one and then you just get fucking ganged upon.
Yeah.
But I like, and especially when some of the annoying bits of the combat is when you're on a mission, the mission is they send some people to help you and you're trying to sneak in and the cunts just start shooting arrows and getting yourself caught. That's annoying. But I really like it. It's quite clear they've taken a lot of inspiration from the likes of Witcher 3, especially with how kind of random missions in the world and how side missions work. The side missions here are like kind of there's a lot of them for a start, but it's not just collect fucking a feather or whatever. It's actual like little side stories that have kind of three parts to them and different bits. There was one when I had to rescue people out of a hippo infested farm, which was quite tense. That was fun.
I thought you were going to say rescue people out of a hippo,
that'd still be quite tense.
It's a bit League of Gentlemen-y, that is.
But yeah, it's good. It looks like phenomenal. You know, they made a world where, you know, it's usually, you know, quite plain, you know, the desert, quite interesting and diverse. And obviously the pyramids is one of the most best kind of wonders of the world, or kind of iconic buildings or whatever they've built into the game, I reckon.
And everyone talks about this.
Alexandria is fucking beautiful as well. One of the best cities I've ever designed.
I just do not see this game everyone's talking about.
I don't know if I'll finish it because it's bare long and it is a bit monotonous.
It's ridiculous.
And so I don't know if I'll end up finishing it because I want to buy a Switch.
I just am not feeling it, man. I am just not feeling it.
It's definitely...
It's too long, but it's good.
There's a lot of good and there's a lot of still shit within like Origins. I think like the combat and stuff, I appreciate what they're going for, but I still don't think that they nailed it.
You
go in, if you get caught, it's just a nightmare. You're just jumping everywhere.
Is it not supposed to be more of a stealth game? Because that's I was going to say
it is, but the most annoying thing is it's an assassinating game, but if you try and assassinate someone who's higher level than you, let's say you sneak into a base and the captain's in the sleep. It doesn't kill them. Like, you're sticking a knife into their fucking throat. It doesn't matter if they're level 27 out level 2700. If I'm stabbing them in the fucking neck, they're dead, lad. They're not getting a minuscule bit of health knocked off and then attacking me. That is absolute bollocks.
It's quite phenomenal to get a knife straight to the face and then attack back.
No cell death. Like.
I just want to introduce you to this thing called video games.
This is bollocks. Like,
they're bad all the time.
If you get to a position where you can sneak and assassinate someone and you've sneaked around and avoided detection and then assassinate someone, you should get to do it. That's the point. I can understand being an enemy really, really hard to defeat in like combat. Fair enough. But when you've done the assassin bit and you're not allowed to do the assassinating, it's just bollocks.
Yeah.
And there's some shit boss battles as well in it as well. Like, I've just fought the hyena. It's like, just let me kill her. Like, I don't need this sandstorm bow fight. It's like Metal Gear Solid when you have to kill fucking Ghost or whatever she were called. Like, just no need for it. No need. But
I think Origins is like, It's a good step forward, but like I'm still not invested in its story. I think
it's got one of the worst openings to a game I've ever played.
Real cold open.
It's really poor, and I think so.
But you know they've taken on board how everyone's complained about how slow to start the games are, but they've gone so far in the other direction.
Yeah,
like,
I have no idea.
We're not even going to bother telling you what's going on.
It's like you're in a tomb, right? That's not a bad start. Just let me know what mission I'm on. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Yeah. I'm killing some geezer, and then you don't get the story about his son getting deaded off until like an hour, 2 hours in. And it's like it just
deaded off,
and then you'd meet this woman, and they all right. His wife, I presume the wife dead. It's utter bollocks. One of the worst openings to any game ever. I mean,
I'll also say that the game is stupidly big.
That puts me off. I'm not gonna lie, that does put me off going into
the map.
Into it.
The map is just an obnoxious like size. I pretty much finished the game, but I remember like about 30 hours in, there was so much
I'd yet to
discover.
Like, I've come in, I've enjoyed my time here, but I'm not investing the story enough. It's more kind of playing the game itself. Like, I really like the bow and arrow in this. There's a bow called a predatory bow where you like zoom in, like as if you're going down the sight, and then if you get it on the head, it's basically one shot kill. And that's really satisfying and fun. Like, it's a good fun to play, but I'm just not invested enough.
When do you unlock that?
You just find one or buy one.
Hang on. Oh, sorry, I thought you is that the one where you they showed it at E3, like where you go into first person, you can move the bow.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's the thing that's bothering me the most about it is that I feel like it's a stealth game, like it's intended to be the most stealth Assassin's Creed game yet. However, having played 45 hours of, and I'm going to say the name of the game, and then we're going to move straight past this, but having played 45 hours of Horizon Zero Dawn, I am really missing the kind of control over the bow in Assassin's Creed that you have as Aloy. Yeah.
I agree.
Like, I want to be able to slow time down to fire that bow. Like, I feel like it's really awkward combat. And like, maybe this is an unfair criticism, but the guards seem to move a bit more, so you kind of have to aim where they're moving, but then...
Yeah, that's 100%. They're definitely trying to not stay still sometimes. But then,
but you can get seen very quickly.
Mm.
But it doesn't make any sense to me, because fine, they're trying to make them harder to kill, but then they put a coloured bar over their head to let you know if you're going to one-shot them or not. So it's like, well... Doesn't really matter then, does it? Because I know I'm going to kill him in one.
Even
it
like,
doesn't feel very. I said this before. It feels really stiff to me. This game really stiff, and that might be because of the Horizon thing. But it just feels clunky.
Yeah, that's been every Assassin's Creed game, really. Like, it's always been a bit clunky.
Yeah, but everyone said this is supposed to be different.
But like that's fucking everyone. Still everyone's going to say that,
I think, especially on the last one. Was the last one in London? Miles better than that.
I have to say, right, everyone is going on about, what's the name of this character in Origins? What's his name? Bayek, yeah. Right, everyone's banging on about, oh, he's the best character.
Oh,
I'm
going
to be honest and say, I think the two Syndicate characters were the best characters in Assassin's
Creed.
No, the
best Assassin's Creed characters is Ezio, hands down, and then it's Edward. Edward's probably the best. In fact, all the characters in Assassin's Creed Black Flag are the best ones they've ever done, because Black Flag's the best game they've ever done, hands down.
I'm just a bit worried. Does Chris hate us all now?
I've gone, mate. I'm gone. No, do you know what? It's not.
You're not a fan, Chris.
I liked it. There are things about it that are
absolutely
that I struggle with. Like
am I just at the point you were at? Do you remember when you messaged me when you were reviewing it? You were like, "Holy shit, this is rough."
Yeah, I literally.
But the difference is you had to keep going because you were reviewing it, whereas I'm just playing for myself. So I'm just like, I don't. Do you remember? God, this is going back some Final Fantasy 13, when that game came out and it got shit on. It was actually not a bad game, but it took so long to get going. And people sort of said, like, well, I don't know. I can't remember. I really can't. But one of the biggest complaints was it's like 20 hours of tutorials. Well, Assassin's Creed feels to me like I got out of that first bit Dan talked about where you don't know what's going on. And then instantly it's like go and hunt three antelopes or whatever. I was like, I don't want to. I don't want to go hunting in this game. It's not Far Cry. I don't want to go and get three.
It's classic Ubisoft, and everything has to blend into one. I'll tell you what else actually annoys me in this. They constantly tell you wherever you're 150 metres away from a fucking objective to control the fucking bird. Right? The bird's fine. I enjoy it. But I do not need to be told without like, that I have to use the fucking bird to find anything. Especially when you're going to find something that's inside a building. I must have spent half an hour trying to find a fucking geezer at a pub because this bastard bird couldn't find it.
Sure, you weren't playing Everybody's Gone to the Rapture or something?
Maybe. I'll tell you what, one last thing about Edge. I'll tell you what, has given me an even greater appreciation for it. And I actually didn't mind it when I played it originally when everyone else was throwing a hissy fit. But the kind of the breakable weapons in Zelda, having that in Origins where you're just getting constantly new weapons and you're just upgrading them and you can carry about 75 different fucking blades and axes on you. Like with Origins, you find ones that suit you. I like the dual blades and a big fucking hammer. Like I like that.
Yeah.
And that's what I just stick with and I just upgrade them and get different ones of them. I don't use anything else. With Zelda, it kind of, having your weapons break all the time just encouraged you to experiment, try new things all the time, never to get comfortable and kind of manage your weapons a lot more. And it was a whole mechanic in itself. And I think, I tell you what, I'm going to get a Switch like soon when I'm back in Sheffield because that's the nearest game to me is about 80 miles away now. And
Jesus.
I cannot wait to play Zelda again. I'm going to rinse through it. I can't wait.
I've been getting that itch too. What, before we leave Origins, I do want to ask, Chris, as someone who played the most of it, how much or how long do I have to push through the feeling you know what I'm talking about because you had it. How long do I have to push through that?
I think the combat side of it doesn't go away for like 7 or 8 hours.
Oh my, well, that's too much.
You know, when you get, there's like the moment that I, when I was messaging you, like just so angry about it was when it's like your first kind of stronghold. You have to find the kind of boss man. Well, it's not a boss, but he's like the higher level and you have to kill him. Is that
okay?
I would try and be as stealthy as possible. I'd get seen. Then they come and batter me because the combats, they're not like fodder anymore. Each guard like takes quite, you know, it takes a lot of time to kind of take them down. And it, then you take that guy down, then someone else sees that, and then they all come running at you. It's very difficult to kind of take a lot on at the same time. Mm. You can very rarely take
on massively
more than more than two, and you're probably done for.
Yeah.
So that kind of takes a while for that. It's completely rehauled the kind of fight and the combat. So it's frustrating.
Did you think the combat was like what they have done to it was a good step? Because I'm in two minds. I'm kind of like, okay, cool, but if
I
you
don't
just
like
nails,
the lock-on thing, because if you lock on, then you just fucked, because something will come behind you and dead you.
That does get messy. Yeah. That does get. But I'm in my head kind of going, well, if you just nail stealth, I'll be happy with that, because that's what this game is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Kind of I'm so surprised they didn't take more from Hitman. Learn a bit from that. You don't need to do all the gimmicky stuff with Hitman. All you need to do is like taking the sneaking and the actual killing. You know, getting into a position to kill. I'm surprised they didn't learn, like, do a lot more from that.
There's some moments, though, where I'm kind of like, do you really not want us to do any stealth here? Because there was a good few occasions where I would have been up on top of, like, a cliff, looking down on a load of enemies, and as soon as I hit a bow, they all know where I am. I'm just like, they're all just shooting at me, and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, they're supposed to discover, oh, God, our enemy, one of our guys is down. Where did that happen? Like, that's an issue that happens in majority of stealth games. But with Origins, it just doesn't want to let you have fun. Like, in a weird thing. Like, even down to, like, putting in the pyramids, right? Everyone will talk about it. Everyone will go, oh, the pyramid's amazing. I went to one of the pyramids, and I was like, okay, cool, here we go. And they just make it so incredibly awkward because you have to scale it like a tower. So you
I think
have
that's
to
fair
find...
enough. But it shouldn't be easy to climb the pyramid.
Oh, well, obviously you're not just going to like just run up the fucking pyramid, like. But it's just it becomes frustrating in a way. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, because you'd make a jump and then you'd fall.
That was annoying.
The whole
you're sliding
way
down it again,
and you're just going, "Oh Jesus Christ, this is what Assassin's Creed does all the time in its gameplay." I don't know. It's like there's weird elements, even down to the inventory screen, taking the Destiny kind of style.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate the cursor. Like, you're not a PC game. You're not.
It's kind of... It makes it slicker, I understand. But why take... Why is that a thing? Why have you focused on this? And I don't know. It's interesting to see where it'll go. But to be honest, they've had so many titles that I don't really know what they have to do next. But just stealth.
Yeah.
Well, Chris.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's just listening, trying not to.
No,
swear
no,
at
no,
everyone.
No. It's not for everyone. The way the combat changed wasn't. I wouldn't say it's for the better. I would say I enjoy the combat from the older games where you can walk into a crowd and just like, you know, go full on like Batman in the Arkham games where.
Yeah.
You know, you can block, parry, and it all kind of feels very much like a dance, where you kind of choreographing your fight and yeah, they are trying to make it more stealthy, and that's fine. Yeah, but yeah, it doesn't always work. And I think when you're making a game that big, you can't make the combat that kind of difficult. Or I just think that they need to focus more on everything rather than.
Yeah,
you're wasting your time trying to take out three guards when you've got a 40-50 hour game to play through. You know, I completely get it, and I understand why for everyone. I mean, I did love the kind of the story does open up quite a lot, and it does get better, and it does start off because that when your wife just appears, you don't have a clue who she is, and there's no background to that. She's just there. And you're like, all right, cool, I'm married. And that kind of happens quite a bit, but it does take a while to just break through that barrier for me of the combat, especially. And the stealth is bad with getting spotted all the time. And like you were saying earlier about the firing an arrow into a crowd and taking out one guy. If that was reality, you hid afterwards and no one knew you were there originally. How are they going to know other than the direction it kind of hit? They all start firing at you specifically and you start taking damage straight away. So I feel that the enemy is a very kind of the AI is too good. It's not realistic, but I still enjoyed it. And there's a lot of cool stuff to do. And you know.
Yeah. There but is it, a lot it, of cool elements yeah. to it as well, though, in fairness. We've kind of I feel like we've been kind of shitting on Origins, but, like, I did love the whole going through the desert and stuff and the hallucinating. Like, that's not a like, spoiler, but just they do add in little touches to the game that are really nice, that make the world a lot more kind of active and stuff. I just think when they took the time out for Origins, it was a great idea. I feel they just should take even more time now for the next one.
Yeah,
I don't think they will.
I wonder where... I just don't know what they're going to do now, because I'm kind of...
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, but I'm kind of burnt out by it. I think I was expecting it
to... It was massive, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I was expecting it to kind of be the beginning of the end. I was expecting some kind of story involving, maybe, you know, the whole... not the magic of it, but the apple of Eden. Is that right?
Yeah.
And that to kind of... Because it's kind of religious, I was expecting that to hark back to kind of like Jesus and maybe incorporate that into the story and then just end it with like the beginning of it all, seeing the end of the whole Assassin's Creed saga. I'm just not asked about the Templars anymore. I'm like, I know how it started. I just want it to end. And what Dan was saying about the whole Animus, just get rid of it, just scrap it. Because it was when I first played the very first one and that all happened, I wasn't expecting it. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool that it's like it's looking into your ancestors' memories. But now it is solely filler. It has been for the last 5 games.
Yeah.
It's completely redundant to what the kind of greatness of the series is, and I just wish they'd scrap it and get rid of it. And I've just got a feeling that they're going to end it with the kind of game being set in the present day. And it's just going to be a Watch Dogs.
It's going to link to Watch Dogs eventually, I reckon.
I'm just not bothered.
The last Creed thing I'll say, though, is have you all seen the movie?
No, but I'm never going to watch it.
No.
Oh, my God. Like,
that's why I'm never going to watch it.
It is absolutely atrocious. Like, there is no fun to be had in it. Like, I knew that it was going to be bad, but Jesus, I thought I could come away from it going, well... Do you know, I've played all the games, so I'll see this and that probably. Not at all. Absolutely appalling.
Yeah, it does look shit.
Yeah.
No interest in the movie. Dan, anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, the only game next? That I was playing on a regular basis since from pretty much September to December was FIFA 18. And as you know, I hate FIFA, the previous FIFAs. But FIFA 18, I quite like. Sorry. I mean, it's still got its annoyances and whatnot. I think there's like a good second delay on everything you do when you put it into the controller, it comes on the screen. I can't even remember because I've not played in a while, but I know as soon as I play one game again, I'll remember absolutely everything. But I actually quite like this year. It's for the first time in a while. And the only game I've been playing is a game called Dragon Vale, which you've probably never heard of because it is a cookie clicker, phone, mobile, like Simpsons Tap Type, one of them. Got into it. And resisted the temptation to spend actual money on it as of yet. But it's all right. You breed dragons and make little cute dragons and make a little cute dragon park. It's nice. It's a nice time killer. It's all right. And that's everything.
Fair enough. Well, Chris, it's your turn, mate. What have you been playing this week?
Well, like you, I realised yesterday that I haven't actually played anything. So I
bodes got... well.
No, it does. It does because it made me play Devil May... I would say it made me play... Devil May Cry.
Which one?
Reboot?
The new one, yeah.
Oh, DMC, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, is it not called Devil May Cry?
Well, it's technically called DMC : Devil May Cry. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been playing that. And
you've been playing the best Devil May Cry, you say?
The best. Because I played the others. Yeah. And it's incredible. Like, absolutely, like, incredible. Like, the combat is ridiculously well constructed. The two trigger buttons at the back both kind of give you two separate weapons, but they've got very kind of different purposes. But they're also related to the story quite well. I thought that was quite cool. And then by using the kind of your triangle and your circular moves, you've then got the square button, which you could use with them, and they'll make you swing through the air or fly through the air like a grappling hook, or they'll pull things towards you and...
Yeah.
Then you've got your guns, which are like just completely separate from the melee weapons, which are awesome. And just to play, it is incredible. I've not had that much fun in a game for a while, and I'm glad to keep going
with it. Please keep going with it.
I will.
Because it just gets better and better.
didn't need to play it.
And it's so
I did
sexy.
Not know that you had not played this, because when... It's funny that you're playing this, because Mikhail, our news editor, said he's never played it either. And when he told me he'd never played it, I got actually genuinely angry. Because, like, this is a game... I'm going to... Listen, I wasn't saying come closer, but you're not in the same room as me. But listen, get your headphones nice and tight to your face. This game has got the best combat. Like, it's better than Bayonetta's. I'm going to say that because I know everyone loves Platinum games. Oh, Platinum games, amazing. They can't do anything wrong. This
they
is
can,
better.
Star Fox.
Well, they can, like, lots of games. But this... I'm going to bore myself by saying it, but I'm going to say it again. It is a fucking tragedy that this has not had a sequel. It is the best game never to get a sequel. It is unbelievably good. Oh, it makes me so sad, Chris.
You have been championing it for quite a while.
Let's
talk about the good things about it.
Every bit of it, then.
I'm only talking about the combat, like, from that very kind of first level where you're running through the amusement park. Like, that's just fucking cool. It reminds me of the stupid kind of... have you seen Deadpool?
I haven't, but I know... Yeah, I know
so, like, the intro to Deadpool where... It's just like... It's kind of weird, hard to explain. It's like a freeze frame of Deadpool, like, jumping through this car and he's shooting all these guys, and it's kind of like a screenshot. And the camera moves about the car and Deadpool and all this. When he jumps through that... what is it? You know, what's it called? Like, not a camper van, but the whatever it is. You know,
it was like just a people carrier,
Breaking Bad thing. Yeah, and he dives
SUV.
Through.
Yeah,
yeah, and he dives through there, and he puts his top on, his trousers, and he's kind of naked, isn't he? He flies.
Oh, sorry,
that.
In DMC. Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
yeah.
That's terrific. Terrific moment.
And
that
it's just insane. And then just like that whole kind of the set, not even the set, you know, when you're just running and you jumping off the different, like the pier that's falling and crumbling. And it's all because you're in limbo, aren't you, at that point? So it's just insane. Like visually, it's gorgeous. And then even the humor, like it's funny. Like I'm laughing at it. It's not trying to be awkward with it. Well, it's not that they're trying to be awkward, but it's not awkward, you know, awkward laughing. It's just very funny. When that kind of thing falls on his head and gives him the old Dante hairstyle. And he just kind of throws it off and he's like, nah, that's stupid. And
it's how one joke killed a franchise. What a shame.
Yeah. But I love it. And I'm about 2 or 3 hours in and I just think it's so well designed. And like, it just, the level designs are gorgeous as well. Like, it's so versatile and different. I can't believe, I kind of hate myself a little bit, Adam, if I'm being honest.
You should, mate. No, I'm going to be honest, you should.
No, I do. Maybe
more than a little bit, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot, I do.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I just purchased it there on Amazon.
Good.
Oh, yeah, it's cool.
How much is it nowadays?
It cost me £7.99.
Oh, my God.
You've just stolen from Amazon. That's how good it is. You should be paying them 8 times that for this game. I don't want to become across as a fanboy because, like, Ninja Theory, they have done work I've not loved. But I just think they're the most unlucky developer going. I really do. Like, you know, when you think of Enslaved, you think of, you know, I mean, this is old ground. We've trod it many times before. But I'm glad you're playing it. I'm glad Adam's going to play it. And I'm now going to try and get Mikhail to play it as well. I assume you've played it, Dan, or you're just being quite out of sphere.
What we're talking about?
Devil May Cry DMC.
I've not, no. I've considered it several times, but I just never have.
I feel like we've let
I'm
down.
I'm really excited, because I've only ever heard amazing things. I remember when it came out, both you, Adam, and Colm, when he was on The Geek, was like obsessed with it, like just like constantly talking about it, wanting a sequel. Like, I am really excited to hear you, Chris, going on about like that, because I haven't actually played 4. I haven't played 4, but I played 1, 2, and 3. And
4 is good, but it's not as good as this.
Yeah, but I know I will love this. I don't know why I never did it at the time.
It's funny because I don't know if I've told this before on the podcast, but a long time ago when last gen actually, we used to, as a publication, I think most publications used to get a lot more debug code. And for those who don't know what that means, it's basically non-final code. In other words, it's not, you could get the disc and put it in your console of choice and it wouldn't work. You need a special console to play it. not yeah, that's what it is. And they sent a preview build of DMC through on Xbox 360. I can't remember actually what it was on. It was half the game. It was the first, whatever it is, 8 or 9 chapters of the whatever it is, you know, it was half the game. And I don't think before or after have I ever played a preview build through twice. And the reason that's rare is because when you've got a preview build, you don't have a save that's going to be compatible with the final game. Sometimes right. there were, it was a case. Sometimes it was a case of, you know, this save will carry on when we give you the final build of the game. 99% of the time it wasn't, which means when you play through a preview build, you're doing so with a mind, an eye in the back of your mind, knowing I'm going to have to play this again. And even if a game's really good, you don't want to instantly have to play the whole half of it again. With DMC, I played through that half the game twice, knowing I'd have to do it a third time when the review code came in, whether it was a debug build or a disc or a code or whatever. That's how good that game was for me. One day I hope somehow Capcom will stop making remakes and actually make a sequel to this game, and that they'll give it to Ninja Theory, but they won't, just despite me. At this point, it's personal. At this point, they're doing it to spite me.
Bastard.
Look, stay positive, all right? Stay positive.
Oh, there's been a sudden spike in sales for DMC. We don't understand it. Anything else, Chris, you've been up to?
Yeah, I've been on a bit of PUBG.
I want to play it so badly. I want to play this so badly.
Bring it on PS4 already, lads.
You will be playing it badly if you play it on Xbox.
This is the first time I've played it since that update that came out.
I think there's been another one since. Did you play it before or after the second update? There's one recently.
I played it before the first one on the Xbox, and then the second one I've still not played it since. So literally before the first one.
Right.
So, I mean, it's still struggling with areas that I don't understand how it hasn't been fixed yet. And it's the one of the main things is you are relying on seeing the enemy in the distance, and you're relying on seeing where the enemy is jumping out of the plane because you're trying to fucking avoid them. So how can you avoid them if you can't see them? And it's ridiculous, and it's still frustrating. It has to be within 100 meters of your characters to be able to see where they are, and that's if you're lucky. So that's still an issue. It's you can still struggle to see any of the other players in the game. And I don't understand how that can be unfixed. But hey, you know, it's just come out. Let's give it time. I don't know how much more time they're going to need, but whatever.
A lot.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd say 6 months.
But
at least.
I still love playing it. I love the grand stuff, and that video which I think it might be up now, where I've got that guy in a church, and it's the first time where I haven't just been picked off straight away. It's tough. But there's a guy who I took down with a shotgun in the church. It was so satisfying, and it's an amazing feeling when you take down someone else, because it's so frustrating when you get shot and then you can't get in another game for another 5 minutes because you have to wait to be booted and then you have to wait to get in a match, and it's a bit of a palaver, and then you have to jump out of the plane and land. It's not very quick, but it was just so satisfying, and it was it has some great moments, and it's very tense, and like we talked about in the game of the AirPod with the sound design, it is excellent. There's a lot going for it. I mean, on PC, it was ace. It was fantastic, and there were very few problems with it. Now it's on Xbox. They need a lot of work to do to get it to even higher.
How does Fortnite actually compare with it? Because I can actually play that, and I played one game of it on PS4. I didn't really know what to do. It was just a big, empty, colourful map, and, I found some weapons on it, but all I could do, I was doing was, fucking smashing the shit out of walls and stuff. And then
you don't
killed.
Want to be doing that in Fortnite.
Yeah, I don't get the point. It doesn't seem like a scavenger, or it's obviously not as great because it's colourful and whatever, but it doesn't seem kind of as serious, I guess, as PUBG.
It's weird because I kind of figured, in our household, my kids play Fortnite a lot because it was free. But they have access to PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds now, and they are not interested in the slightest. And I was surprised when Fortnite Battle Royale came out that it got so much hate. I get why people are like, oh, this is a bit dodgy, and we've got a story on this when we get to news. But I think the twist on Fortnite's version is really interesting. Because,
what's the twist? What's the difference?
Well, so in PUBG, what you're doing essentially is you have to work your way towards a circle, get the best gear you can, and survive and be the last one standing. The thing about Fortnite is you can build. Like, it's got base building. So when someone fires at you, well, no, so back up a bit. So the reason you're smashing stuff up with your pickaxe is because you're getting resources. So you're getting wood, metal, bricks. And what that means is, say someone cracks off a bullet and you hear a pching, you go, oh shit, they're from over there. You could literally just build cover in front of you. You could build a house around you. You know what I mean? And then you could just quickly run out of the house when they don't see you and they go in the house and you can kill them in the house. You know, that I think is a really interesting idea. Like, I think the idea that you can base build in a battle royale game is genuinely cool, and I was really surprised everyone hated on them. Like, being the shooting's not amazing in Fortnite, but they are apparently going to be like really massively overhauling that soon. I think it's either in testing or will be in testing soon. Right. But
it's getting a whole new lease of life, I think, because I work inside like my local game store, and like over Christmas we just had so many people asking for Fortnite. Like, I when you say the whole building mechanic, I think maybe they owe a bit of thanks to maybe Minecraft and stuff. If that's what the kids kind of see it as, they kind of go, oh, it's a Minecraft-esque kind of like shoot 'em up. I don't know. Like, is there something?
It's also more arcadey. Like, there is bullet drop, I'm sure, but it's not like PUBG where you have to know how far a bullet drops if they're in the distance. That, you know, you're not going to get that. Well, you might in Fortnite if you high level, but you're not going to get people sniping you from 200 feet or meters or whatever. You know, it's different in that respect. But I watch the kids. I don't play it because, you know, they're always on it. But I watch them play Fortnite, and I think that it's definitely, it, you know, you'd think it would lose the tension because of the colourfulness. It doesn't. Also, like, not being funny, PUBG runs like shit even on Xbox One X. Fortnite doesn't. It runs fine. It's not perfect, but it's still also in preview/early access. Have you played Fortnite? I mean, I know we played Fortnite standard. That's the thing. If you don't, there's no tutorial. So if you haven't played the base game of Fortnite, like the building, like Dan says, oh, you build, because you wouldn't know, would you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I played it with you and Nick, and that's the only time I played it, and I enjoyed it, but at least it kind of gave you an idea of what to do.
Yeah, but that was before Battle Royale came out. So then by the time Battle Royale came out, we knew how to build. But then my boys have since played Battle Royale, the non-Battle Royale, but they knew how to build, so they worked. But then they watch YouTube videos and stuff, you know? They watch people doing it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, it's free.
So what, right, because we were talking about how everyone got pissed off with Fortnite for Battle Royale.
Yeah.
What about Paladins Battlegrounds?
Well, that's in news, but we may as well get into that story now. So Paladins is really interesting because Paladins is essentially that company have made a game that is Overwatch, and now that company is making a Battle Royale version. So Paladins Battlegrounds, which they've literally called Battlegrounds. Battlegrounds. It's coming to Paladins soon and be the first hero shooter Battle Royale.
You've got to admire the fucking cheek, don't you? Really?
I mean the balls, you know.
They're just the shit-hosing. You've got to admire
it. Yep. I'm sold.
Yep. So Todd, I mean, Todd
the
Harris,
game is literally
executive
just a
producer.
Rip-off of Overwatch. And
well, see, that's the thing. They claim they were developing before, but like, sure.
And they had this
sure.
They had this Battle Royale idea well before Battlegrounds, you know.
Yeah,
biggest game in the world.
Here's the brief blurb from Todd Harris, executive producer. He says, riding on a mount through this massive fantasy-themed map, looking for gear and cooperating with your team, Paladins Battlegrounds delivers some of the feel of open-world MMO PvP, but all within a 20-minute match. This map, this isn't him speaking anymore, the map in this mode is 300 times the size in square feet of a usual Paladins Siege map, and will have mounts. It's currently playable in the early alpha version at High Res Expo. The full release is planned for 2018, and there's a trailer on godisageek.com. We knew this was going to happen. Like, when PlayerUnknown's got that big, you know, to be fair, Epic were very quick with Battle Royale, but we knew 2018 was going to be the year of Battlegrounds clones or copies or homages, whatever you want to call them. We knew it was going to happen, you know? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this year's Call of Duty has a Battle Royale mode.
Yeah, good point.
And what if it runs better? Holy shit.
It will probably. I mean, it'll probably run better than the PC version runs quite well now. The problem with the PC version is it's just full of hackers. Like, I booted up the PC version. I actually tweeted a video of this. I went on the new map because I wanted to try it, and the new map seemed really cool, and I was doing all right. And then I just got done by someone with an aimbot. And it's like, but this is... That's the one thing I'll say about the Xbox version is there's no cheaters on it yet that I can see. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, does anyone play Paladins?
No.
Because we're all probably Overwatch fans.
Battleborn, mate. Battleborn.
I beg your pardon? Yeah, I remember it.
I'm joking. Is
are the servers still up for that?
I don't know.
They were.
Did it not become free to play?
Well, I don't know, because I sold a couple of copies of that over Christmas, and I was like, I don't know if this is going to work for you at all.
I think it did. I think they went free to play on PC, but. Well, we'll come back to the news because we haven't asked Adam what he's playing or what he has been playing. So, what have you been up to, mate?
I have been playing the Resident Evil 7 DLC. So, Not a Hero and End of Zoe.
Right.
No, it's weird because I feel if you have not played Resident Evil 7, then talking about the general premise of even like Not a Hero
is kind of
a spoiler.
Yeah, it would be. Because so, it's that the character that shows up in the end.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't really want to talk too much about it, but what I will say is there's a lot of weird about this. I personally felt that the Not a Hero DLC you can get for free. Once you have the base game, you can download this for free. Then the End of Zoe comes. I don't know if you can buy it separately. I imagine you can, but I'm sure you have to buy the season pass, I think, or else buy this gold edition. I'd also like to say that all the banned footage as well is also in this. So the gold edition has everything that's out so far. End of Zoe is just not as good, I felt, as Not a Hero. No, that's me personally speaking, because...
How long are they, by the way?
I sat through both of them in one sitting.
I loved 7. Obviously, we talked about this before, but I'm kind of tempted, but I feel like it's been so long, and I'm worried they'll be too long, but I'm guessing they're not that long then.
You can get through them both in, like, 3 hours.
And can you play one and then sort of stop and play the other one another night? Or
Yeah, you can.
Okay, absolutely. Well, then maybe I will play then.
But what... They both do something completely different in terms of the actual gameplay aspect. And that alone is something... Like, when I went into playing the Zoe, I did not know what I was going to be doing here. Like, what way was it? Because when we all got 7, we didn't really know either. We were kind of going, is this going to be heavy combat? Is it going to be an Outlast kind of aspect, you know? End of Zoe is interesting. And I think the idea surrounding it is cool, but I don't think it's any fun.
Okay.
And it seems like... See, I'm being super vague on it because I feel it is a spoiler. Because a few people have read about what it actually is in gameplay. I didn't, and I just wasn't into it. I just went, this is okay, I guess, but there needs to be a bit more to it. Not a Hero is way more kind of like action-oriented, let's say, you know?
Oh, really? Okay. You're putting me off, mate, I'll be honest, because I prefer the first half of 7 to the end of 7.
Okay, so this is where the DLC kind of does weird things for me personally, because if you've played 7, the third act of that, it isn't that it's bad, it's just nowhere. It's nowhere near as good as the first, like, 10 or 12 hours of the game. Like, Resident Evil 7... The first 12 hours are just phenomenal. I mean...
So you obviously played that game slower than me, because if you said in the first 12 hours, that's me completed it and then started it again. It took me about 11 to get through it, I think.
I'm not going to lie. Like I may have seemed like I'm playing the game kind of fast, but I was playing it fast because I was kind of scared and wanted to just run away. But, like, the third act just doesn't do a whole pile for me. And I think the enemies that you meet in the third act are just not scary.
Not at all.
They're not scary. They look like something that has this, like, do you know when you have a picture on your phone and you go to like the sharp effect and you just ramp it up to full and it's just this like piercing glass?
Yeah.
That just really bugs me. So when you're actually fighting this certain enemy, the environment looks the same as them. Now, I know that's the whole purpose of it, is to kind of like, oh, where am I shooting and am I hitting the enemy? But it's just not scary.
Mm.
And a lot of the DLCs are surrounding that enemy type.
Oh.
And I think the whole entire fear aspect is just not there at all. Which worries me for whatever route they're going to go down if they do release Resident Evil 8. Because I think what Not a Hero does, it gives you the first person view of what the older games felt like in terms of its 100% combat.
100% agree. Yep.
And I want that, if you're going to do that, all the time. Don't make me super powerful, just because we all know. Like, I was only recently playing Code Veronica during the week, okay?
Okay.
And just to give it a go. And do you know that whole aspect of when you're shooting the zombies and they're coming at you and you're after firing like 6 bullets, and there's that last second where you're by a door and you either decide in your head quickly, will I shoot one more and will I kill him, or will I just get the fuck out and go back out the door again?
Yep.
Like, that element is what Resident Evil does so well.
Yeah.
Because you're... In the old games, you're just useless from start to finish, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I think they can definitely do that in the first-person mode. And it kind of shows itself. It shows itself that it can when you play Not a Hero. But in End of Zoe, it's just kind of taking the piss a small bit.
Right.
And I know I'm being super vague and there's not much you can go on with what I'm saying.
No, but... Yeah. But I still kind of want to play it.
Oh, definitely play it, because I think it offers stories that are kind of cool. Like, this isn't a spoiler, but it basically follows straight, directly at the end of the game. And it's cool, and it's cool to do what you're doing and see how it's going to be handled. But it's just very strange that this one, the Not a Hero DLC, was free. And Zoe wasn't, because it felt like it should have been the other way around.
Okay. Weird.
And if you haven't played the other DLC, like the banned footage ones, they're cool, but there's one particular one with Marguerite, and it is phenomenal.
Oh, like, the bedroom one. I haven't played any of the DLC. Any of it. I finished the game, God, and I haven't touched any of it.
You, like, that is so good. That
but that's short
one,
as well, right? They're quite short, yeah.
You could get through all of these in, 6 hours, pretty much.
Okay, maybe that's my plan, then. I don't know. There's a lot to play.
There is a lot of it, but I highly recommend it. And I think, I just really love that this series is kind of, back again on top form, because I was unsure about this. Like, it made my top 5 of the year, and...
Really?
I think they're back on track, but I just feel... After playing 7, I want zombies again. Which is weird to say, because we're
flooded with... No, I'm with you.
Do you know, we're flooded with zombies. Like, and we even have Days Gone coming out.
Well, we're going to have a Resident Evil 2 remake, haven't we, eventually, at some point, if they ever... I complained about Capcom and remakes, but I do really want to play that.
I'm going to be honest.
You know, yeah.
I'm going to be honest, man. I am disappointed that we've heard nothing about that last year. Like,
well, you got to assume that they're doing the same for that they... Well, I say assume with Capcom, you never know. But I'd like to assume that they are doing what they did with Resident Evil 1 all that time ago when it came back on GameCube.
Yeah. Well, that's all I want, because there was rumours floating around that they were going to take the kind of Resident Evil 4 route of view.
Mm.
Like, and I'm not down for that, because the kind of background of 2 is one of my favourites. Like, I think that game is perfect as it is. Just do your little HD work and off we go. I don't know if I want this over-the-shoulder kind of view at all for 2. It's weird, but it's exciting to see what Capcom are going to do with the series. But at the same time, I think I read this week that 7 is the 6th poor-selling game of the series.
I thought it sold quite well, but we can get into news while we're here. Unless you got anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, that's kind of all I was playing.
Okay, no, it's been a short week for a lot of us, but yeah, I mean, I've
still
been
done an hour to talk already. Bloody hell!
Ah, well, imagine, hey, professionals. Well, yeah, Platinum Games. I joked earlier on about, I do actually like Platinum Games. I just think they sometimes get a bit of an easy ride compared to some developers. I think they've made a lot of good games, and I think they've made some dodgy ones too. Well, now they want to publish their own IP. Apparently, staff have pitched about 70 design docs. This sounds similar to the Horizon Zero Dawn stuff that we heard about.
Yeah,
where that came from. In we mentioned last week, Danny O'Dwyer's NoClip documentary. So, in an interview with Game Informer, Inaba has said, one of the things Platinum is focused on is we're looking to create our own IP, creating our own game. Up until now, obviously, we've worked on original IPs for a wide variety of publishers. We've also worked on other Hollywood IPs for other publishers as well. But we're becoming more and more interested in the idea of self-publishing and doing our own title. Which sort of suggests they're kind of fed up of making money for other people, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'd be well up for seeing them do something on their own. Because, I'd give them the benefit of the doubt and see what happens, because, you know, they've made some toss recently. Like the Turtles game that they were behind that, weren't they?
I never even played that one.
Yeah, it was just appalling. Like, for saying they could have done a lot with it was just dreadful. And then the Transformers, I never really played much.
Transformers wasn't bad.
Yeah, that was good.
But I wasn't. I'm not a Transformers fan, so I didn't really.
Yeah, it didn't hit me like it would have, I think. But yeah.
It's not bad.
It's worth saying that in this interview, I think there's some lines you can read between here, because we know they're developing Bayonetta 3, right? We know that's coming. So there's a team on that, right? We know they've got a staff of around 200. They also say we can't put together a AAA $10 million. Game because we just don't have that sort of cash as an independent developer. However, we don't plan to go the indies route of just a few people on a team making a game, so it'll be somewhere in the middle, looking at probably around 20 people on the staff making the game. So that's a healthy size. So if they're saying that the 20 is a middle tier game, and we know they've got 200 staff, and that means what, at least 50 to 100 must be working on Bayonetta, because they have developed a lot of games for a lot of people. You know, we're talking Vanquish, Sega.
I want Vanquish 2.
We all want Vanquish 2, but the likelihood of them owning that has got to be slim. But, because Sega put out Vanquish on PC, so they clearly own that. You know, Nier Automata, you know, we know they want to make a sequel. You would assume Platinum will be on that again. Don't know. Bayonetta 3, as we've mentioned. You know, they have done a lot of games for a lot of people. You know, let's not forget as well, Nintendo are, at the moment, porting a lot of Wii U games onto Switch, including Bayonetta 1 and 2. Are we to assume Nintendo are sorting that? Because that's a Platinum game. And also, what about Wonderful 101? I kind of wonder if eventually that will hit Switch somehow.
They also did Star Fox.
Yeah, well.
But, like, yeah.
But just going back to the about them publishing, they can't publish like this massive game. They don't necessarily need to. And look at Ninja Theory,
Hellblade.
They're an independent studio now, and I would class that as a AAA game. Because
it's nice that that's coming back, isn't it? You say AAA, but it's kind of the mid tier, isn't it?
Well, like
the mid tier disappeared for years. It was either you're an indie game or you're a AAA big published game. And it's kind of nice that we're getting that mid tier game back. I mean, think back to last gen when you got games like, this is a pull, but 50 Cent Blood on the Sand, which was a really fun game, but it was a kind of mid-tier game, wasn't it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Prey was a mid-tier game.
Everything THQ did.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
And I think Bethesda's Rage and stuff like that.
Yeah, Prey.
Like, what kind of game would you like to see Platinum release?
Vanquish
2. Well, obviously, yeah, you fuck. But, like, the actual style, like, do you think Vanquish is, in your eyes, the best that Platinum have ever done?
No, I think that.
Would you like to see them tackle something along the lines of, say, Horizon or
Platinum are a funny one
Zero or something along that lines?
I will have to make noise to do this, but like Platinum Games have developed a lot of video games. If I can find, I'm trying to remember the name of the game, but there is a game. They've not always made good games either, right? So to look down, in fact, let's go down the list. Like the first one apparently in 2009 was Mad World. Do you remember that on Wii? The black and white game?
Yeah.
That was actually a good game. Yeah. Same year that Bayonetta came out. Then Vanquish, then Anarchy Reigns, which was Oh, right. Actually, it was, okay. Now, it gets interesting now, because Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, I think, is a game that could have been incredible if they fixed the camera. But I always wanted to go back to that game, but it needs a HD remaster, a remake.
Yep. Then
they hit the wonderful 101 and Bayonetta 2. So up until that point, generally speaking, we're on a case of these games are all pretty bloody good, aren't they?
Yeah. You know?
Then they had The Legend of Korra, and they had a deal with Activision here because it looks like they do three game deals, right? Because Mad World, Vanquish, Bayonetta and Anarchy Reign. Sorry, that's four, actually. They were all under Sega. Konami, they just did Metal Gear Rising. I'd love to know how that game came about. Nintendo, they've done Wonderful 1, Bayonetta, Star Fox, Zero and Guard, as we know, which starts to make you wonder. But then in the middle of that all, with Activision, they did The Legend of Korra, which was bad, and Transformers Devastation, which was decent. And, of course, also for Activision, Mutants in Manhattan, the Turtles game, which was not great. So there is clearly part of Platinum that isn't, they've got tiers. Do you know what I mean? Let's also not forget what happened to Scalebound. Who owns Scalebound? Do they own Scalebound or do Microsoft own Scalebound? Because I think it was Microsoft.
It must be, because
if you owned Scalebound and you'd done that much developed work on it, you wouldn't then just go, fine, fuck it. You would say, right, well, if we're going to do our own publishing, let's go back to the game we've already half made. I think you're right. I think it's Microsoft. But, like, there's no game on this list I can see that they own. You know, no IP that they own.
Maybe that's what this is about then. Maybe they are just sick shit of it and they do realise that if they had the opportunity to release their own game under their full control, I do think that they believe that they can release an absolutely insane game.
Or they could go, well, I'm not going to say Kojima, but... Yeah. Yeah, they could. I would be interested to see what they make.
Yeah, you know? I know, but definitely. I don't know. I think they're an interesting
very
group.
Yeah, they are. They are. Well, we've also got like a raft of Nintendo news, so I'll just fire through some of this. I'm going to probably butcher the name, but Takashi Mochizuka at Wall Street Journal has reported that there's a plan was originally in place for Nintendo to have 64GB Switch game cards available for people in 2019. They've delayed the rollout to 2019 because there are some Switch cards, like WWE is one, NWA, LA Noir are all games that you buy and then you have to download. Did I say NWA?
That would be a great game.
Yeah, that'd be a great game. But they're all games that you bought the card of and downloaded. In fact, Doom was another one. If you wanted the multiplayer, you had to download it. Was it really? Yeah. If you wanted to play the multiplayer, you had to download it.
I didn't know that because every single physical Switch box that I've seen has that really upsetting looking
white
script
bar
at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty poor.
So at the moment, there are 16 gig cards and 32 gig cards, but the only game published on 32 gig has been Dragon Quest 1 and 2, which was, I mean, that together, I think, had. There was a weird thing about that. That was bigger than the actual storage of the system.
I need to tell you about this because, like I said, I'm probably going to get a Switch in the next week or two. I've got some money, going to do some trade-ins, really want one. But this memory card bullshit, I've had enough of this type of shite, like with PSVR and whatnot. What should I get? Because I've been told you can just use micro SDs. Is that true or what?
But don't buy a bad one because the bad ones don't work properly. It's a false economy to go on eBay and go, oh, there's 132 gig and it's only £5. It's a false economy. It will be a fake one and the Switch does not like bad ones.
Okay.
So it depends what you want it for, okay? The Switch has the exclusive games. Most of them are like 3-4 gig. Mario's like 3 or 4.
Really? That's mad. I only want Mario, Zelda's.
I know.
And whatnot.
See, Zelda's like 11 or 12, I think now. Like it's, or maybe a bit bigger.
All the DLC and whatnot.
Yeah, but I think the main thing is, right, is that nobody uses these 32 gig cards. And the reason is that they cost more for the developers and publishers to make. That's why you are having to pay more for Switch games, apparently. Nico Partners' David Ahmed has commented on the pricing changes when publishers work with Switch cards versus the Xbox or PS4. And he says, for those who always ask why, blame the price of game carts that Nintendo charge to publishers. 32GB game carts are ridiculously expensive. If a publisher wants to put a game on a 32GB card on Switch, it costs 60% more than it would for a 50GB Blu-ray on PS4 or Xbox One. Your game needs to be less than 8GB if you want to make the same margins on the PS4, Xbox and Switch versions.
So Indie That's Machine. Why,
it's what?
Indie Machine. They kind not, of, they, but, be, they wouldn't be on disc anyway, but you know what I'm saying.
No, like, no.
Your smaller well, games are the ones that are going to kind of use this system to the best of its advantage, I guess. But I don't know who... I can understand certain games, like your Skyrims on the go. I can understand the appeal of wanting your good games on the go. But yeah. In reality, who the fuck is buying the latest AAA for the Switch? Well, apart from that one thing. Like, if you've got Doom... Yeah. Like, why would you get Doom on Switch?
I've said this before.
But, like, why? Yeah. Why would you want Doom on the go? You want Doom on your big fucking telly with the big speakers and whatnot.
But it's also, it even goes further than that. If the main games, like, we know that the Switch is not a 4K machine, right? We know that. So who the hell is going to need a 64 gigabyte Switch game card? What game is going to come out that's going to require 64 gigs of space? And also, if developers are already saying no thanks to the 32 gig and saying you can download the rest, you know, consumer, there's no way they're going to pay more for a 64 one.
Nah.
It's a bit of a weird story. But while we're here, we should also mention that the Switch is apparently the fastest selling home console ever in the USA.
They must have finally got like, the supply sorted out. Because I remember hearing stories about the Wii in America that you couldn't get them for like 2 years because they were just sold out everywhere. So they must have actually... done a good job for once and not having everything sold out after a day, which is weird for Nintendo.
I mean, this isn't a huge story. Well, it's a big story, but there's not a huge amount to say about it apart from
it's cool.
Hey, the Switch is popular.
Nintendo have like one on, one off, don't they? Like, you know, Wii U. This I think was the GameCube before the Wii, and not exactly most well praised.
Yeah, it didn't do amazingly. Yeah, it was.
So yeah, they're we're coming up to like the year, like March 3rd is the year. Yeah. And I'm gonna have to be honest and say that I think their first year has been outstanding.
Yep,
I think.
Yeah,
they've delivered absolutely fantastic titles, and even I know what you were saying, Dan, about like the AAA titles and stuff, but I didn't get Doom, but I'm gonna be honest, man, when you buy a Switch, it's very hard not to go
it's
and get
great
Skyrim
for them
or something
that they've
like
got
that
AAA support again, because that's what Wii U, like, they absolutely killed it off within a year, especially when Ubisoft and everything died. They've done really well to get that back again, so fair play.
I find this whole thing a little bit strange, because as someone who loved the Wii U, and I reviewed the Wii U and loads of games on the console, there's a lot of parallels, and I'm not quite seeing... It must just be a messaging thing, because the Wii U did have third-party support at first, and there wasn't a Doom, but there was Batman, there was FIFA.
Yeah, but remember
that
like,
first
stuff like Watch
year.
Dogs took like
Creed.
A year to come out and shit like that.
Yeah, but
like,
but on release they had stuff. That, yeah, but so's a Switch. Like Wolfenstein is coming out for the Switch a year later.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Doom is a year later. That is exactly the same thing. And in the same way that Batman didn't run very well and FIFA wasn't amazing on the Wii U. So it is on the Switch. It's all very well people going, oh yeah, you know, but it's amazing to have, you know, to have FIFA on the Switch on the go. I totally get that, but it's the same sort of thing to say about FIFA on Wii U, where it's like, well, I can play on the Wii U while the TV's been taken up something else. Like, there's a lot of parallels, and yet the fortunes just seem completely opposite. You know, like, it didn't have a new Zelda, we know that, Wii U, but it did have a new Mario, and it was an amazing Mario. You know, it wasn't like, you know, it had Bayonetta 2. And it's just so strange to me.
I still think a really big reason Nintendo kind of doesn't do well, it's doing well now, but like, a problem with it is like, the games just don't never go cheaper. And like, that's such a problem with me. I have a Wii U and never bought a game for it, because I can't spend £50 on a game that came out 5 years ago. It's good for them again, but if people are still selling them, but they're so expensive, and I'm hoping with
the
Switch
I
seem
haven't
a
played,
little bit.
That's why I haven't played Yoshi's Woolly World, or
exactly,
the one I really want a port of is Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. Love that series. Love
so
that series.
Hard.
I'm hoping that I like virtual that, you know console I mean? Like, yeah. is decent on the Switch, and I can
well,
play
I just want them to make
really
a port
up.
Of Donkey Kong for Switch. I just want that game to come out again on Switch.
Well, but, I've never played any of the Galaxies. I really want to play them, and I think they'd be great on Switch. I played like the first mission, like at the start of Mario Odyssey, because someone came around the house who had it. And I already want it. That's it sealed me, so I'm definitely going
to
get one.
So I
really
think Galaxy will come to Switch. I think
I
Galaxy.
Think so too. I think
because it's coming to
come.
Android, isn't it?
We're going to honestly get like everything that we had in the Wii U, and they're going to add
eventually.
In GameCube. They're going to add in
Sunshine,
a GameCube section.
Baby.
I don't know about that. But the reason Galaxy will come to it is because Galaxy, people thought they couldn't because it needed the motion controls, but they've got the. Oh shit! What's it called? I've got one of them. The Android box, the Nvidia Shield. They're bringing Galaxy and other Nintendo first party games to Shield in, I think, Japan, or it might even be China, actually. I can't remember. I read the story a while ago, which means they must be doing stuff to make it work with that motion. So they've kind of already done the work, which suggests to me Galaxy is going to come. I would imagine that will be like a Nintendo Direct, and it's available now kind of thing.
I'll be interested to see how Galaxy holds up after playing Odyssey. Yeah.
Well, I would suspect. I'll tell you something that didn't hold up well, Adam. And I know you're a big comic book fan. Marvel Heroes Omega, that didn't hold up well, did it? It basically came to console finally, and then they got completely shut down, and people who paid for it were up shit creek. Well, Microsoft, Sony have been a bit quiet about this, but Microsoft have been pretty forward with it, and they have now detailed how they're going to give refunds. Essentially, if you purchased Marvel Heroes Omega DLC between October 31st and November the 29th, you will be refunded your original payment instructions. For DLC purchased between September the 1st and October the 30th, your refund will be the form of store credit. And any refund or credit should have been in your account by January the 31st of this month. If it's not come by then, you've got to contact Microsoft support. So that's, they're out there saying what they're going to do. PlayStation are apparently reportedly offering similar refunds within the next few weeks. They're not being quite as forthcoming, but that's a shame. But sticking with Microsoft as well, the Xbox One, the Kinect is 100% dead now, because if you remember, they took the port off the back of the new models, but there was an adapter. Well, that adapter has now been discontinued as well. So, Kinect is gone.
Waste of fucking time.
I have to say as well, look, it's so interesting seeing that, because once again during Christmas, the amount of people asking for Kinects, insane.
Are they all doctors trying to use them for research or something? Or
that's exactly who I was serving.
All of them. I don't know whether to mention, I didn't know whether to bring this up or not, because I don't think anyone here is a huge Destiny head. But there's more expansion rumors where apparently Gods of Mars is going to be called. Now, I don't know enough of what this is or what it means. It's basically popped up on PSN ahead of the official reveal, but this is coming from VG247, no one seems to have actually seen it personally, so it's just like a screenshot that's floating around.
Okay,
but there you go, that might be the new Destiny 2 DLC. But I've saved the best for last, lads, because at this point we don't know, there's no confirmation, but it's been mentioned for a long time now. Burnout Paradise HD. It's been talked
Day
about.
One.
It's been talked
Game
about.
Game of the year.
And last night, as we record, the reliable Gematsu has reported a Japanese retailer listing Burnout Paradise HD Remaster for 16th of March, which is about 26 quid, according to Eurogamer. And it's been cited in Brazil. It's been lots of popping up saying it's coming out in March. There's no EA have been quiet. But what do we think of this?
I think it's terrible.
Oh, fair enough.
Terrible that it hasn't been announced sooner.
Very good.
Oh, Chris, thank God. Jesus.
Sure.
You got us all then, I think.
I was all right. Sorry, lads. I'm not going to go with it. I was fine.
It's fucking cool.
Have any of you played the backwards compatible version?
Never played the normal version.
Okay. Well, I will say I have, and it does need a HD remaster. It's not aged brilliantly. It's quite blocky and the polygon. You know what I mean? It's
okay, but there was that game was superb when it came out.
Yeah,
100%.
It was a ton of fun, and I welcome this. This is a prime example of a remake that we need, and it's not like a cash in. This is like, we want this. Give that to us. It's going to probably be amazing again.
I would also point out that given so much of the vitriol towards EA at the moment, if this isn't a thing they are really doing, then they are out of their minds, because it might finally curry some favour towards them.
Needs to do Skate 3 as well, or Skate 4, I should say.
Skate 4, yeah. Well, I don't think they're going to, because Microsoft had to. So with Skate 3 being backwards compatible for the Xbox One X, Microsoft themselves actually did the update work on that to make it run better. EA weren't involved, so.
Real shame, because a Skate 4 would be superb. Mm-hmm. I'd
take a Skate 3 remake.
Can't they make a skateboarding game that isn't called Skate?
Well, there is that game. I cannot think what it's called. There's a Kickstarter game that looks basically like Skate 4. Ah, damn it, what's it called? Can't remember. Someone tell us on Twitter, @GodIsAGeek. I cannot think what it was called. It's got like a full stop in it. No, not that one. Finally, you know, this week, we just wanted to mention, you know, if you want to send us questions, you can do so at God is a Geek on Twitter, facebook.com/God is a Geek, send us a message there, or you can email podcast@godisageek.com. We're running long this week, so the one we're going to quickly go to is Darren, or at Rotem, R-O-T-M-M, on Twitter. Is 2018 make or break for VR gaming? Windows VR devices released and no buzz. Updated PSVR that no one is talking about. Price drops on Vive and Oculus don't seem to have driven adoption. Plus, all we are hearing is about experiences rather than games. Chris, what do you think?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I think it's definitely a year where we need to know what the focus is for these different kind of companies and where they're going to go with it. I think there are some games out there for VR that are quite good, but there's not been those games that like everyone are talking about, everyone wants to play. And let's not forget, it's a lot of money, especially like the Oculus, just to play some mediocre games.
Well, no, Rift is cheaper than Vive now, I think.
Right. Well, still, I mean, like, I can't think of any games off the top of my head that have like, they're in any kind of game of the year chats or anything like that, or doing anything. I think we're still in early days. I hope there's more of a buzz, but I'm more concerned of like PSVR and the kind of consoles, whereas the PC, I don't think they're going anywhere particularly. And I think there's more scope to do more with the PC ones because of the specs can always improve and that. So we'll see. But I mean, I'd love to see more more VR games like kind of do more and achieve more and get a bit more kind of appeal to people, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
Anyone else?
Yeah. I think Sony are just being Sony when it comes to the VR. When the Move came out initially, it was like, oh, okay, cool, and people had it, and then it just went away.
PS Move was quality. Dust. The best ever shitty gimmick thing
agree.
They've ever done.
Yep.
Anyone's ever done.
Well, it had a bit of like. All right,
it worked. Sports, that's the thing. It
sports champions
worked.
Disc golf. Okay, I'll give it that much.
That
okay?
was great fun.
But then, other than that, it went aside, and then they had to bring it back somehow with this. The VR, like, look straight up. The best game for the VR. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is Resident Evil, right?
I would say Super Hot, but go on.
Oh, okay, yeah. To be fair, Super Hot is unreal.
Which I haven't played on PlayStation, so I'm talking about the Rift version.
Oh, okay, right. Well, it works really well on the PlayStation.
Okay.
Like, it's interesting because it just seems to be... It works really well when it comes to horror games and stuff, and I don't know if there's much focus on it. I think Sony are kind of going, look, people have it now. They're kind of... They have their friends around. They show it to the friend gets buzzed. They'll get a bit of longevity out of that kind of effect of it for a while. I don't know if we're going to see a whole pile come in 2018 for it. Like, I don't know. They need to... Like, the price isn't even that bad for it. It's going for about $350 now, and I think you can get, like, the camera and the controllers included, and maybe a game. Yeah, exactly. But, I don't know if VR...
The biggest problem with PSVR is that they put this really cool, cheap, compared to the others, out. Yeah, product out. Unfortunately, it still uses old technology in form of the camera and the Move controllers. And while they are both fine in their own rights, they needed to update that tech and make PSVR on par with Rift and Vive. And they could have done that, and they could have made it an optional thing and said, look, if you want the highest fidelity VR, buy our Move 2.0. And they didn't. Buy our camera that's 1080p, that's high quality, that's, you know, that's the problem. That's the problem with PSVR. I don't think it's make or break at all. I think it's just going to carry on much as it did last year. There'll be a couple of high-profile releases like Doom and Fallout. I think it'll just keep ticking along. I don't think it's going anywhere. I don't think it's going to... I don't think that any more of it will drop in price. I don't. The thing we might get this year is some hands-free VR in respect of you don't need to be tethered to your PC. Like, you know, there might be a... I think Vive would probably do it, maybe Rift, but there'll be like a non-cabled version, and that's what we might see. But I don't think it's make or break at all. I think it's just going to tick along just as it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really do.
Because to be fair, if there's one thing to say about the VR is that, like, majority of the titles... They work, like, they do. Like,
oh, I've had some fantastic experiences. Like, Google yeah. Earth, which is an experience, not a game, is incredible in VR. Like, that is an emotionally moving experience. But I enjoyed Psychonauts on PSVR. I've enjoyed Superhot on Rift. There are other games I'm spacing on. There's a robot one on Rift. I cannot think what the bloody name is. It's just tremendous fun. I enjoyed Rick and Morty's VR game. I like Job Simulator. I've got actually one called Shooty Fruity, which I've been meaning to play. I got it before Christmas. They sent the code over. The reason like a lot of sites don't cover VR is because it's really fucking difficult. Like, especially like in our case, where like in my office, I am the, for want of a better phrase, the talent and the producer. Do you know what I mean? It's not like we work in a big studio where I can say, right, hey, Adam Carroll, sit there and play VR while talking to Chris next to you, and I'll be the producer over here sat at the... You know, I'm on my own, so like it's a real pain in the arse and awkward to capture VR and do anything with VR. And if you're not doing video, you're writing about it, and I can't really get across the experience of every part of what makes VR special in a text form. That's why I'd rather show you it. And most... people don't have it because it's too expensive. Like, it's difficult. It's not like it's not that nobody cares. Like, year and a half, 2 years ago, I was trying to do stuff with VR on God is a Geek. It's just really difficult to do unless there's at least someone else in the room with you. It's awkward to set up. Like, PSVR fucks my capture system up. Like, I've got like a second capture unit set up just for VR stuff because it doesn't work otherwise. It's like the old days. You have to unplug a cable and plug it back in, and then suddenly it works again. And I have to do that almost every time to get the PSVR to talk to my PC, essentially, to show a screen I can capture. I have to unplug it and plug it back in. Now, that's awkward to do if you're the one sat there with a VR headset on. That just makes it a faff. And then before you've even started recording, you're sweating because you've got it all over you and everything. It's, I don't know. VR is a very solo experience, and I think there are ways to make it, you know, more than that. But it's just... I don't think it's going anywhere.
Yeah, like we're definitely going to look back in many years to come and see like the VR as it is now and just be like, Jesus Christ, look at the state of that. Do you know what
maybe,
I mean?
Maybe. I'm not going to, I think it's here to stay. I just don't know.
Really?
I do think it's here to stay. Well, that's pretty much it for this week. I will, as always, I'm going to bore people by doing this, but I'm going to remind you that if you do enjoy this podcast, you can find us on Stitcher, you can find us on Podbean, where you can leave comments, you can find us on iTunes, on YouTube, everywhere really that you would, you're just typing God is a Geek podcast. But also, if you really like us and you really enjoyed the podcast, I want you to consider going to patreon.com/GodIsAGeek, where for $1 per month, you will get an exclusive section of this very podcast, and you will hear it at least 24 hours before anyone else. And that's not just one episode you get for a dollar, that's every episode of that month, and for as long as you stay, you know, a Patreon saint of ours. You will also get early access to videos, exclusive content. You know, we do plenty. We're going to be doing some little mini exclusive pods soon. Like, I'm going to try and wrangle Mr. Carroll here and get him to tell us about himself for our people who he's new to them. You know, we can do a whole pod just for our Patreons about that. But that's, you know, not going to be heavy-handed about it. It's there if you want it. If not, you know, fair enough also, I suppose, but we do think it's worth it. We genuinely do. You can follow myself at GBSF on Twitter, at God is a Geek, obviously. Chris is at FirstAvenger83. Adam is at Adam Zoax, that's Adam Zoax. Dan is at Mabroski, that's Mubroski. You can follow, again, I don't want to bore people too much, but just type in God is a Geek and then followed by whatever platform it is you want to follow us on, and you'll almost certainly find us. Do keep an eye on YouTube in the next coming weeks. We're aiming to ramp up production on certain different things. We're trying to do a bit more with YouTube this year, do something a bit different. But otherwise, Adam, thank you.
Thank you.
Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
Dan, it was a pleasure to have you here again.
Don't be a stranger, Dan. I will not be, no doubt.
And we will speak to you, some combination of us, we'll speak to you again next Wednesday or whenever you choose to listen. Thanks very much, and goodbye for now.